All right, 2 Chronicles, chapter number 13. And I'm really just going to look at the chapter here, but if I were going to give this a title, I would call it, "But As For Us, The Lord Is Our God," from verse number 10. "But As For Us, The Lord Is Our God." This is a powerful chapter, and why don't we pray, and then we'll just read through some verses, and we'll let God take us from there. Father, thank you for being the God, the only God. Thank you for being the Almighty God. Thank you for being the Lord, and truly, there's no one like you. Thank you for loving your creation. Thank you for creating us. God, would you just allow us to see you in such a way that we would trust you in the way that would please you. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. In verse number 1, you'll notice that the word of God, that it does say this. "Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor." So 2-1. Christian life is, God's people have always been outnumbered. You know, don't be afraid to be in the minority. The old saying is, God plus one is the majority. But, you know, don't look for strength in numbers. Look for strength in God. And God is continually throughout the scripture trying to show us that he is the difference maker. Because if God be for us, the Bible says, who can be against us? Anybody believe that? I mean, really, think about it. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, if you really knew today that the God that the Bible talks about, if you really knew he was for you, what in the world? And who in the world would you be afraid of? The answer is nobody, no thing. So, and verse 4. "And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel." Now he said, Jeroboam, I need you to listen to me. And I want your whole entire army, Jeroboam, with the whole nation of Israel, you need to hear what I'm about to say. And he says, "I ought you to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him, to his sons, by covenant of Saul." He said, "Jeroboam, don't you know that God gave the kingdom to Israel? Yet, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord." You went against God's given authority structure. And because God gave the kingdom to David, and you've gone up against that reign. "And there are gathered together unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them." Solomon, the son of Solomon, Rehoboam was wanted to reign in his stead, and Rehoboam could not resist their negative influence at that time because he was tenderhearted. And he said, "Don't you realize that you're going against God?" And he said, now, verse 8, "And now think ye to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods." He said, now, Jeroboam, do you understand? Are you thinking about this? Ought you to know better? Are you thinking about what you're really trying to accomplish here? Jeroboam, do you understand that, okay, God has given his promise to his children here, and you want to come, even though you've got this great, you're going to take a great multitude of people, and you're going to go against God, and you expect to win when there's golden calves among you, which Jeroboam made. Verse 9, Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands? Jeroboam, are you thinking about what you've done? Now, God has the divine order of the priesthood. And you've cast out those priests. And you've got false priests, and you kicked them out, and you've made your own priests after the manner of the nation. You've established your own religious ideas and values after the nation of the lands. And I ought you to know that this is not the way to victory. This is not the way you win. And he says, looking at after the question mark there in verse 9, so that whosoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. And this is where organized religion has really ruined the ministry. Because guess what? If you just have a religious degree and you just have some training, then you can get into doors all around the world. And people put you in charge of churches and allow you to preach. And because that's after the manner of the nations. You know, what's going on with Richard and his training? It doesn't make sense because we're taking about maybe 6 months and basically in immersing him in the doctrine of God, and he's going to go forward in authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just trusting God because he's called. When you're called, that supersedes any expectations of man. It supersedes any expectation by men. And because you are after the priesthood of the Lord in that regard. And that's why it's so important. You know, and that's why, you know, if you're a child of God, you've been called to the ministry of reconciliation. But he says now, but as for us. Now, this needs to be the way you view the world today. The world cares nothing about God's reign. The world cares nothing about the way God does things. And the world comes against you and I on a regular basis expecting to conquer us. And there ought to be some holy confidence within us that says, I ought you to know better. Especially when it comes to the religious world that knows the history, knows the different things. I ought you to know better. But as for us, now here it is, the Lord is our God. Does that mean anything to anybody beside me? Does it mean anything that the Lord is your God? But as for us, the Lord is our God. And it says, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests, which minister unto the Lord, are the sons of Aaron. And the Levites wait upon their business. We talked about Moses and Aaron, jokingly with the boys a moment ago. God established the divine order of the priesthood through Moses and Aaron. And he's saying this, you know, God's with us. And basically, we're just doing things the way God said to do it. We have the priests, we have his order. And verse 11, it says, and they burn unto the Lord every morning. The priests that we have, they have the right sacrifices. They're interceding between us and God. They're making sure that there's nothing between us and the Lord. Because it said in verse 11, and they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also they set in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold, and the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken him. Jeroboam, I know you got more numbers, but how ought you to know that you can't win if you're forsaking the Lord? Ought you to know that? And in verse 12, here's the good news. Well, the gooder news, the better news, if you like English, amen. Or really, it's the best news. And behold, no. Anybody, what does behold mean? Anybody know? Take notice of. So God says, don't miss this. Amen. I've only said that 3,197 times, right? So God says, don't miss this. So let me have your attention just for a moment. Don't miss this. He says, God himself. Wait, catch this now. Is with us. You know, imagine if God could deliver us all from our religious experience, And if everybody that's in this room that came with a heart, really, and I'm not saying you haven't, but if we catch the magnitude of what really happens if we come with, here for his name's sake. God himself is with us. And I've been just like you, the old church, and the old man, where is everybody at? You know? But catch this number. God. Abijah is going to stand with 400,000 people against 800,000 on believing that God himself is with them. God himself is with us. Anybody saved today? Can I tell you some good news? God himself is with you. No, really. I mean, God himself. Did you hear what I said? God himself is with us. Why in the world do we think victory is such a hard promise when God himself is with us? Because, number one, I think we're not fighting the right battles. You know, one thing is great to be at the meeting. People finally start realizing that we don't have to fight all these crazy things out there. So we got to go win people for Christ, and we just have to glorify the Lord. And he said, and behold, God himself is with us. Now here it is. Now, God's not just with them, but notice what he said here for our captain. He's our captain. The word captain means he's literally a head or a chief officer. You know, in all the sports teams I played on, I was generally captain of all of them. Because God put something in me to separate me from people. You know, I used to think it was me, but even as a lost man, God did it. You know, because God made me, didn't he? So even as a lost man, God made me the captain. But unfortunately, I wasn't letting him be my captain at that time. But a captain is the one who's supposed to lead the way. So as a captain, the captain is the one that runs the hardest. He works the hardest. He plays the hardest. He pushes himself. He sets by example. And God wins. That's why he's a great captain. God never loses. I mean, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's why it's good to have him as a captain. Because the most arrogant, the most vile, the most wicked person you could ever possibly imagine, one day they will bow before God and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So why not enjoy him as a captain right now? Amen. And thank God for the reality of that. And now, turn, I heard you place Exodus 15, because a captain is also a man skilled in war. We see Moses singing testimony about the Lord after their great deliverance from the Egyptians. It says in Exodus 15, verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. Is there a witness to that? Amen. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. Now, I'm going to prepare a place for God just to dwell. Amen. That's our hearts. Have you prepared today for God just to dwell in your heart? I mean, that's what he wants. You and I to prepare a place in our heart for him just to abide there and to dwell there, to habitate there. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Notice what he says in verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, that's pretty good news if you're tired of fighting yourself. You know, the Bible talks about we need to rescue those, instructing those that oppose themselves. All of us really are fighters in nature. All of us fight something, you know. And a lot of times it's the Lord, sometimes it's ourselves, sometimes our neighbor, sometimes it's our wives, sometimes it's our husband, sometimes it's our children, sometimes our siblings, Sometimes just anybody that we can see. If the next person cuts us off, hey, we're in a fight, man. Person tried to cut in line, you know. But this lady cut me in. I could tell she wanted to spot in line ahead of me, you know. And I was there. I was just at the dollar store just a week and a half ago, and the line was confused, and I was in the line the way it was supposed to be, a certain way around the store. And she just kind of stood to the side, and she was going to try to squeeze her way in there. And I thought to myself, man, it ain't that pitiful. A grown woman, my age, a little older, trying to cut in line, you know. And I thought to myself, you know what, my first thought was, you know what, no. I'm just going to go up there, I'm just going to stand, because it doesn't make sense for a grown woman to be still in my place in line. But then there was a verse in the Bible, the Holy Ghost of God says, let each esteem other better than themselves. And I said, oh Lord, that's the one. So I just got out of the line and went around to the other side, which the longer line was, just remove all doubt, you know. So. and I laughed at myself later. I said, Lord, this is a shame. I mean, my forefathers were crucified and slain, and you know, and I'm getting hot under the collar. Because this woman is going to make me get out of the store probably 3 minutes slower. How crazy it is. But the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. You know, and I said that because we fight just anything under the sun. And we're meant to be fighters, so we need to trust the Lord. Let him do the fighting for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll still go back to 2 Chronicles in a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like to help you pay attention next few moments, so I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm almost done. So if you can focus with me, because we really need to get this. And I'm not lying to you. So stay with me. I'm disobeying the Lord today. I try to do it every day. 1 Timothy chapter, sometimes, but you know, honestly, sometimes I think I have something to say more than the Lord has to say. And you know, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. He's talking to Timothy. He said, I want you to fight a good warfare. But you know, some, he said they haven't. They're shipwrecked because they put away a good conscience and faith. And you know what the key to a good warfare is? What do you think? Based on what we said, what do you think the key to a good warfare is? God, what's the word we looked at so far? That's exactly right though. But there's a word we describe in Chronicles. Pardon? Right. The right captain. So I'll ask you a question. I mean, I'm not looking for an audible answer. The question is, are you living a victorious Christian life? And so the question is, based on your answer, who is your captain? Who is your captain? Because if you're born again, God himself is with you. But is he your captain? That's the secret to fighting a good warfare. Because when you have the right captain, then you follow the right battle plan. You know, ever since I've been born again, since 1993, God has been with me. But you know what? He's not always been my captain. And sometimes I like to start my own battle plan. And that's when I get defeated, feel discouraged, and feel like, man, this is a pointless battle. But when God is my captain, I'm able to go against odds that seem absolutely 100% insurmountable and seem impossible. And so he says here, and behold, he said, now, Jeroboam, think about what you're doing, man. I said, ought you to know better? Don't you know how God has his divine order, the kingdom with David, and you try to go against that order? You took advantage of Rehoboam, and and you got these vain men of Belial, men of the world fighting on your side. You're looking to the world for strength and help, and you expect them to go against God? He said, now, Rehoboam, he said, think about this, Jeroboam, because God himself is with us, and then he says, well, he said first, behold, take notice of this, God himself is with us, not just here hanging out for our captain. God's the one leading the way. God's the one showing the battle plan. And his priests, with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Now he's speaking to the children of Israel now, because their leader's not listening. He says, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. But Jeroboam didn't listen. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. He said, oh man, it's over. We look back, we're surrounded. Everywhere we turned, every direction we look, the enemy. We look to the front, the enemy was there. We look to the back, the enemy is there. The enemy is all around us. Well, what do we do? Well, I said, Abijah said, you know, I think I listened to my own preaching. He said, I just preached to them. I said, Jeroboam, what are you doing? And he said, and when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, or they cried to the captain. And the priest sounded the trumpet. I wonder. I can't even fake the trumpet sound, so I'll just say, whew. Then the men of Judah, hey, wait, once they heard the trumpet and they knew they cried to the Lord, the Bible says the men of Judah, that they were surrounded in the front and surrounded behind, the Bible says they shouted. Hey, and guess what? We're outnumbered, we're surrounded, but we just cried unto the Lord, and the priest blew the trumpet to call upon God, and the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, what happened? It came to pass. Well, exactly what Abijah said. Don't fight against God. The captain that was with them, that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah with his people slew them with a great slaughter. And there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. So now their army is smaller than the original army they went against. Thus, the children of Israel were brought under at that time. And the children of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for the fact that you yourself, you Lord God, yourself are with me. And Father, I pray that every child of God in this room today would hear your voice and receive that truth within their heart with great assurance, with great confidence, that you, Lord God, yourself are with them. And Father, if they can receive that with assurance, would you grant every single one of us the marvelous grace to willingly, boldly, confidently, fearlessly, and lovingly submit to you as our captain. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask this all. Amen.